Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we've kind of lampooned these early debates, especially among Republicans, since President Obama's not likely to have a challenger in the primaries, as kind of being lined up way too early. We're going to get just too much too soon, and we're all going to be exhausted before we even get close to the general election season. I got to say, though, after the first encounter among some of the lower-tier candidates, plus Tim Pawlenty, that I have a different feeling today. It was good to have some of those ideas exchanged out there. I think, for the most part, a lot of people were very impressed with Herman Cain, especially people who hadn't necessarily heard him speak much or even heard of him before. I think that he acquitted himself very well, and hopefully he'll be a bigger player in this debate, as we've mentioned in the past. Tim Pawlenty, I think, gets props for showing up, first of all, admitting that he was dead wrong on cap and trade and throwing that out there so he can move on. I just wish he was a little more natural. He still seems a little bit too polished, but overall, a good night for those two especially, but also just getting the process underway.
Yeah, I actually am not surprised. I kind of had this feeling that Herman Cain, just because he's, you know, I've seen him give speeches before, the guy just always seems to have just the right tone, and he brings a lot of energy to every room that he walks into. So that generally works very well. The Pawlenty, obviously, I think there's some debate of whether he would diminish himself by appearing with the longer shots, you know, the Rick Santorums, the Gary Johnsons. Worth noting, the single most popular Republican on that stage last night, Ron Paul, with 6%. Pawlenty was in second with 5%. And it's kind of one of those things where I like to see last night's debate as preseason football. It's not really – we didn't have all the big names. The starters weren't in there. No Palins, no Huckabees, no Romneys. But it's kind of everybody kind of working the kinks out, getting back into their kind of their rhythm, getting it back into their, you know, their fighting shape after a long off season. You know, as they always say, there were no knockout punches in this debate. And Greg, I'd just like to ask, when was the last time you actually saw a knockout punch in a debate?
I thought we were going to get one a few years ago when Rick Lazio walked across the stage when he was debating Hillary Clinton, but in the end, no punches were thrown. You have to wait for...
I mean, both physically and also, I would note, you think about the sheer number of debates we had in the 2008 cycle. You know, maybe a few memorable moments. I remember Giuliani and Ron Paul going at it pretty strongly about interventionism and such. But, I you know, that really there were a lot of them, and most of them went by with really very minimal impact, very few game-changing moments in that. So I don't think we really should have expected anything from this one. Maybe when everybody's up on the stage, I think you'll get a lot more folks tuning in, and Republicans really will start evaluating their choices. But I think in this case, you know, apparently Gary Johnson was complaining that he wasn't getting enough attention.
Right.
Look, this is the time to let everybody up on stage and give them a chance to make their case. You could see somebody like Cain being the breakout star early on. It's not going to happen in one debate. But, you know, Republicans are still looking right now. And this is, you know, the nice thing is that it's early. A lot of people are saying this is way too the lack of Republican interest, the number of people staying home indicated the problems for Republicans. Well, this is actually early even compared to 2000. So by no means is this a circumstance that you have to jump in by June of this year to be a serious contender.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you go back 4 years, Mike Huckabee was kind of an also-ran, and it was those early debates, I think, and just the way he seemed sensible and very well-spoken that kind of propelled him up to winning the Iowa caucuses. It didn't do much after that, but definitely made him a player in the process. So these early debates can certainly help. As far as knockout punches, I think the closest thing we're going to get to that in recent times was the way Dick Cheney just treated John Edwards in 2004, like he really wasn't even worthy of being up there, talked about how he never saw him even in the Senate floor, and just basically wiped the floor with him. And as it turned out, Dick Cheney's impression of John Edwards is pretty much spot on. So anyway, on to...
Oh, no, give him way too much moral credit.
On to number two now, and the unemployment numbers for April came out, and there's good news, bad news here. 244,000 jobs were added in the month of April. Obviously, that's good news. It's the most in about 5 years. Surprisingly, 62,000 were added by McDonald's. So clearly, if the president wants to bring this unemployment rate down swiftly, grant everyone Obamacare waivers, because I think that's the clear lesson out of that. The bad news is that the overall unemployment rate back up to 9%. But as you have explained many times, that means that more and more people are deciding to jump back into the market, at least looking for a job. The big issue, though, is just how many people still haven't even made that jump yet. So a little bit of a move in the right direction, which I'm sure the administration will trumpet with the positive numbers, but the big picture still kind of grim.
Yeah, this is not a disastrous jobs report, but this really is certainly nothing, you know, I would break the party hats over, even though they're going to emphasize that, oh, this was the single most number of jobs created in 1 month. As one correspondent wrote to me, apparently this means that all the census workers got jobs at McDonald's, because McDonald's announced that they were hiring 50,000 last month. This is a, you know, as we saw, the numbers in terms of discouraged workers went up a bit. The number of people who were considered marginally attached to the workforce increased a bit. Labor force participation is the same, and this is a really historically low point compared to past decades. This is by no means, again, it's not terrible, but this certainly isn't really a strong recovery style one. It's worth noting that during, you know, the peak recoveries, look back to the early 80s, are creating, you know, close to like more than 500,000 jobs a month. I mean, we've seen, you know, some really huge, you know, turnarounds in some time. We're still not getting it. There's a significant drag on this economy. And it's worth noting that people who have jobs, they're probably making less than they were before the recession began. People working part-time when they want to work full-time, et cetera. This is not an economy worth bragging about. And somebody had put to me the other day the irony that the very strong – with Osama bin Laden's death, it is now quite possible that heading into 2012, you will see the Democrats trying to run as the party of national security and the Republicans trying to run on the economy. Bizarre kind of counterintuitive to the traditional approaches and themes of the two parties.
Yeah, absolutely right. They're certainly going to try on the economy, because I still think that's going to be the dominant issue if the numbers stay anywhere close to where they are. But the president probably going to make as much hay out of the bin Laden death as he can, and probably should. I think any president would do that if he had bin Laden killed. So on to number three now, and this is actually a Friday special, two for one here in the third martini, and this is crazy, and they feature Michael Moore and Al-Qaeda. I'm not really sure how much the crazier you could get in these, but let's start with Michael Moore. He was talking with CNN's Piers Morgan, so at least two people were watching. And Michael Moore was asked about the killing of Osama bin Laden, and he says, oh, it was just an assassination. And then he really got metaphysical. You're going to love this one.
We've lost something of our soul here in this country. And maybe I'm just an old school American who believes in our American judicial system, something that separates us from other parts, other countries, where we say everybody has their day in court, no matter how bad of a person, no matter what piece of scum they are, they have a right to a trial.
Apparently he's not aware, Jim, that we're at war and that commanders of the enemy are fair game for military targets. There's so many different ways to go after this and just realize how ludicrous this is. But we shouldn't be surprised that Michael Moore is doing this. But the logic needs to be attacked here, because clearly there's a few people out there who might be inclined to believe him.
You know, Greg, I think back to the purer, more nobler, simpler days of the past, like the Dresden bombing, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. You know, those days, we have always had moral purity on our side, and we weren't doing this willy-nilly, just killing people without trial. I remember the famous trial of Hiroshima and how everyone in the city was convicted of it's Michael Moore. There's a part of me that, Greg, I guess as time goes by, my suspicion that he doesn't really believe what he says, gets greater and greater. Because, you know, if he'd come out and said, you know what, hey, nice job, I have no problem with this, his opinion would just blend in with that of millions upon millions of Americans. But by suggesting that somehow we've done something wrong by executing bin Laden, that at some point the Navy SEALs should have read him his Miranda rights. They should have just said, hey, wait, Mr. bin Laden, presuming it's you, you have the right to an attorney. You have a right to, you know, you get one free phone call, et cetera. Maybe just better hope that one free phone call isn't to a detonator or something. I almost have a hard time believing that Michael Moore himself genuinely believes it. Maybe, you know, maybe he generally does. He went around the bend a long time ago. But there's a part of me almost wonders if this is I don't want to say publicity stunt, but let's say contrarianism for the sake of contrarianism.
Yeah, and part B here is from Al-Qaeda, which on Friday confirmed that, in fact, Osama bin Laden is dead. And Jim, you stumbled across this one, and this is that Al-Qaeda is now upset mainly with the fact that we didn't kill him on the quote-unquote battlefield. This from the people known for their symmetric warfare strategies.
Yeah. This is, obviously it's one translation. Maybe some other folks are going to translate it differently, but it says, even when the Americans managed to kill Osama, they managed to do so only by disgrace and betrayal. Men and heroes only should be confronted in the battlefields, but at the end, that's God's fate. Really? Battlefields, fellas. Not skyscrapers, not airliners, not embassies, anything like that, not subways and buses. Glad to see this sudden change in policy from you fellows. And the next time you want to fight on a battlefield, stay at Tora Bora. Stop running away and hiding in the Pakistani suburbs for that long period. The other thing is, look, my title is contributing editor. My instinct is to edit these things, Greg. So when I saw in there, and they're talking about the death of Osama bin Laden, they say, a mighty mountain, a proud mountain, he was still in the midst of the battle that many got used to, and his eyes were used to its sceneries. Attention, Al-Qaeda, it really probably should be I singular. I guess you could say bin Laden's a bit of a one-eyed Jack there. He just has half the vision he used to. But now he and Mullah Omar have something to talk about.
That's true. Well, at least until we get Mullah Omar.
Omar might have a hard time talking with him for now. After that intel grab, maybe we'll be able to arrange that meeting in the in the depths of hell, the not-too-distant future. So.
Exactly.
Ending
right.
A cheery week, huh, Greg?
Absolutely right. It's been a very eventful week. We've known the major story the entire week, and yet all the ups and downs over photos, what did happen, what didn't happen, and all the different reactions actually has been pretty eventful. So, Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.